Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
All right, why don't you grab a seat? Good morning. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Hey, if you're a guest today, my name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Oh, you're so kind. And love having you with us. If it is your first time with us, we're in the middle of a series. Series just means we talk about the same topic for a few weeks. And the series we're in right now is called Time Flies, and we're talking about time. This precious resource that we all have that most of us don't feel like we have enough of. And if you're new to church, especially if you're new to faith in general, it may be surprising that God has something to say about time, but that's the good thing about our King, man. He has something to say about every single area of our life. And when we listen to him and we follow him, our life gets abundant. Doesn't always mean easier, but it means we live more settled. It means we live more content, more satisfied. And that's what, honestly, everything we do is about, is finding our satisfaction in our Savior. And so if you're new to Wellspring or if you're new to faith, man, we're honored you're here. And let me go ahead and tell you about today. I'm going to encourage you just to jump right in. What we're going to talk about today is a biblical truth. And here's the cool thing about biblical truth. It works whether you believe in the Bible or not. And so whatever we talk about today, you're free to take it home. You're free to apply it to your life. And I believe the God of the universe will reveal himself. I mean, you'll keep coming back until you'll make the decision many of us have made to put our faith in Jesus for ourselves. That's why we exist. And we are honored that you're here with us today. If you weren't here last week, the first thing I'd encourage you to do, because we started the series last week, so if you don't have it already, I'd really encourage you to download our app. It's a great way to stay connected with us, and we put all our content there. And so you can go back and you can see where we started last week, because when we started this series, I kind of threw out this idea, and then over the course of our time together, God revealed it to be 100% true, and it's this: God wants better than busy for our life. He wants better than the time-starved, running from here to there, never able to relish, never able to savor, never feeling satisfied, always moving, always striving. God wants better for us than that. And last week we learned why. It's because busy often blocks what's best. And we talked about this. We have an enemy. His name's the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him. He's very, very real. And he hates our guts. And one of the main things he tries to do is convince us to turn our back on God and follow him. Well, for a lot of people, he can't convince them to do that. They've experienced the truth. They've tasted and seen that God is good. For those people, he has another strategy. We said it last week. If he can't make us bad, he'll make us busy. Because we can get so busy doing good things, valuable things, that we can be too busy for the best things. And so we ended last week with a challenge, and if you were here, I hope you kind of did it this week. The challenge was to begin inviting God into our day-to-day lives and asking, hey, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? And if you were here last week, hopefully you did that. I encouraged you to observe your time and to look around and to ask, hey, God, is this the best use of it? And if you did, you probably got a little clarity, but for most of us, you may have come back this week more frustrated. And if you did, that was the point. Good job. Because we're adults, the vast majority of us. And I don't know about you, but for me in my life, most adult things I'm going to learn, I only learn when I've come to the end of myself. As long as I think I can figure it out, I don't often check with other people. And so the goal of this week was for you to get to observe your time, to wrestle with some tensions of, I don't know what's best. These are all good things, but I've got too many of them. So what am I supposed to do? And if you experience that this week, perfect, because I've got a really great piece of truth to start off today with that I held back last week. I didn't tell you this last week. It was true last week. I just didn't tell you. But I'm going to tell you today, and hopefully it's going to set us free and give us a springboard to move forward into what I think God has for us today. And here's the truth. We have enough time every day to accomplish everything God wants us to accomplish. That's about the reaction I thought. Yeah. You're like, what? Really? Are you sure? Yes. Yes, and I can prove it. One of Jesus' best friends, a guy named Peter, the Holy Spirit led him to write two letters to Christians during the first century of the church spreading. And in one of these letters, Peter makes this amazing statement. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. By his divine power, we don't have to work for it, we don't have to earn it. By his divine power, the King of the universe, the God of the universe, gives us everything we need to live the life that he's created us to live. And that includes time. So if you do consider yourself a Christ follower today, breathe easy. The God of the universe is guaranteeing that you will have enough time every single day to accomplish everything he wants you to accomplish. Our struggle is knowing the difference between what he wants us to accomplish and what we want to accomplish, which is why last week we talked about this. We said that our problem isn't time. It's what we do with our time. See, I knew this last week. I knew we had enough time every day to accomplish everything God wants us to accomplish. And that's why this is still a great question. Hey, God, is this the best use of this time in my life? It's a great question, but we're going to go deeper today. We're going to get a little more clarifying because here's what I assume about you. Your calendar is filled with good things. Your calendar is filled with things you consider the best things. If your calendar was full of time wasters, you would remove them so you could be more productive. So the question for us today is, okay, God, given, especially, you know, if you're married at this point, if you have a family, if you have young children, if you have old children, if you have grandkids, if you're single, if you're in school, like we talked about this last week, we're all busy. And we all think everything we're doing is good and right. And again, there's nothing glaring because we'd remove those. And now we got this fact that, hey, oh, by the way, God's going to give you enough time every day to accomplish everything he wants you to accomplish. And so if you're wired like me, you immediately start thinking, well, I'm doing a bunch of stuff wrong. What am I supposed to do now? What we're supposed to do is turn to our King and invite him into the conversation, which is what we're going to do today. Because there's something he provides that is so valuable. And you know this in so many other areas of life, but there's something about time that we don't always apply this amazing gift that our King's given us. And this gift that I'm going to talk about today, when I say it, you may even think it sounds silly. It sounds like it can't be that simple, but we're the ones that make God complicated. God is pretty simple. And what I believe he wants to provide me and you and all of us who want to choose to follow his way and ask him about time and to invite him into our conversation, it's one word. I believe he wants to provide for us today some wisdom. And here's how we're defining wisdom. Wisdom is simply experience, knowledge, and good judgment put into action. And here's the thing I love about wisdom. Wisdom is personal. Wisdom relies on your life experience and God's truth coming in to it. And if we want to know the difference between the good things, if we want to establish the best things, if we want to be able to understand the God things he wants for us, I believe wisdom is the key. And I believe we can walk out of here today declaring this truth. And the truth is this, that the wisest choice is the best choice. The wisest choice in any situation, specifically with our time, we can trust is the best choice. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to change our question. Last week we asked God, is this the best use of this time in my life? Today we're going to change it. We're going to add God, is this the wisest use of this time in my life? Because wisdom is clarifying. And here's the great news. It is freely available. Jesus' little brother, a guy named James, leader of the early church, he writes a letter to Christians where he talks about wisdom, and he gives me and you and all of us great news. Here's what he says. He says, if you need wisdom, and we all do, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So when we invite God, then we say, hey, God, help me have wisdom on this topic. He loves to give it. He freely gives it, and he has been giving it. One of the wisest things he gave us is his word. And we can read both the Old and the New Testament, and there's lots and lots and lots of instructions about how best to use our time, what the best thing to do is in each moment, what the wisest thing to do is in each moment. And so what I want us to do today is I want to turn to one of those passages. Today we're going to turn, as we often do, to a man named Paul. If you've attended our church regularly, you know who Paul is. If not, Paul was probably, he was definitely the first and probably the greatest Christian missionary the church ever had. He took the message of Jesus basically to the known world at the time, to several ports around the Roman Empire. He would go to a new town. He would meet people. He would lead them to Jesus. And when he left enough people to Jesus, he would start a church, and he would then leave that area and go to a new area and do this over and over and over again. Well, those churches started having questions like, how do we deal with this issue? How do we deal with that issue? What are we supposed to do? God, in his wisdom, led Paul, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to write letters to these churches to answer their specific questions. And here's the amazing thing. Because of how great God is, not only did Paul answer those questions then, almost 2,000 years later, on the other side of the planet, we can read these letters, and it's as if the God of the universe is speaking directly to us. It's an almost 2,000-year-old document, but the truths are absolutely timeless. And in his letter to the church at Ephesus, in chapter 5, Paul addresses time. And here's what he says. He says, be wise with your time. In fact, I don't want to put words in Paul's mouth. Let's just read what Paul says. What Paul actually says is he says, be careful how you live. Now that sounds simple, right? You're all like, wow, that's some deep life-changing truth right there. I should be careful. Let me give you an example of how to be careful in your life. I used to have a buddy who would do this, and I always envied it when it didn't infuriate me. Because anytime I'd ask him to do anything, he never said yes. He never said no. He always said, let me think about that. Now, years later, reflecting on it, that is a life changer. And if you leave here saying nothing else today, hear nothing else today, what if anytime someone invites you into an opportunity that's going to take up your time? It could be social, it could be work, it could be a new committee, it could be a lunch. What if your default response, because you want to live out scripture, you want to be careful how you live, wasn't an immediate yes, wasn't a deferring no, but was a, you know what, let me think about that. You know what, let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. Here's another one. I'm about to save some marriages right now. I'm going to save some marriages. You know what? Let me check with my spouse before, you know? Yeah. Let me check with my spouse before I commit to this. You know what? Let me check with my kids before I commit to this. You know what? Let me check with mom and dad. Seriously, if we just chose to be careful, to just not blindly just give it away and just say yes to every opportunity. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, yeah, but if I don't say yes, then they might not like me as much. They might get upset with me. They might get frustrated with me. And let me set you free. Oh, well. Because you know who expects you to just say yes to everything and never make a careful decision? Well, I won't say it all that. I'll let Paul say it. Paul says, be careful how you live, and then he gives an example. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. He's saying people who aren't careful with their time are foolish. And I just saw some of you perk up. You're like, man, did you just call me a fool? Let me be very clear. No. Paul called you a fool. I'm just quoting the man. But that's what he's saying. He's saying only foolish people just continue to say yes and yes and yes and more and more and more and don't ever say, hold on, let me be careful with this. Let me think about this. Let me check my calendar. Let me talk to some people. He's saying that's foolish. To be wise is to be careful. He keeps going. He says, because we want you to make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity, what? That God has created you to walk in. Everything God's created for us, we want to make the most of that each day. And the reason he talks about in these evil days, they weren't more or less evil than now. It's what I talked about earlier. It's the fact that we don't live in a passive world. We live in a world where we are aggressively being attacked by our enemy. And busyness is one of his key tactics. Because if he can make us busy, he can blind us to the best. That's what we talked about last week. And so he's encouraging us, be careful, be thoughtful. Don't just give it away. Make the most of every moment he gives you. And then he ends it this way. He says, so don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. With our time commitments, with our schedules, he's begging, slow down, pause, breathe. Don't commit to everything. Ask your Heavenly Father first. Check with the people that are most important to you in your life. Make sure you're making group decisions and that you're not just actively just saying yes to everything, because that's unwise. That is not the way wise people live. Which is, again, why we're trying to say that the wisest choice is the best choice. I don't know, some of you kind of want to push back or maybe ask the question like, okay, we're talking about wisdom. Why is wisdom the key? And the answer is because I think it's an incredibly clarifying question. Let me show you, okay? There's a big difference in asking, is this wise? Which is what I believe God's challenging us to do when it comes to time. Because that question is much more clarifying than the question, especially if you consider yourself a Christ follower because you care about this and you want to do right and you don't want to do anything God doesn't want you to do. But we don't ask, is it wise? The question most of us ask is this wrong? And the problem is most of us are wasting our time or spending too much time on things that aren't wrong, but they're just not wise. For example, is it wrong for your child to actively be on 3 travel teams at the same time? Is that wrong? Like, can I point you to a verse of scripture that says, don't do this? No, I can't. But you laugh because you understand. Is that wise? Is it the wisest choice to be constantly running in 3 different directions at one time? I said 3 because I tried to go high. If I need to say 5, I'll say 5. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I was just trying to, 5. There you go. 5 travel teams at once. That make you feel better? You're like, well, that's unwise. 3's fine depending on the season. Okay, good for you. Is it wrong to volunteer at your kid's school and on the HOA and be on 4 different committees and plan 2 trips a year? Like, is that wrong? No, of course that's not wrong. But is it wise? That's a much more clarifying question. And here's the thing I love about wisdom. It is personal and unique to you. See, God has given each of us an amazing gift. We have these wisdom builders that we all have. These things we've experienced in our lives that God wants to use to kind of propel us forward. And before we get here, the wisdom piece I'm about to talk about actually comes from one of my favorite books. It's written by probably my hero in ministry. His name's Andy Stanley. And he wrote a book a long time ago called The Best Question Ever. And it's all about wisdom. And he's the one who I learned that idea from. Of, we go through life and is this wrong? And we can't find a place, but is it wise? It's so much more clarifying because it's personal and unique to each of us. You have wisdom builders. I have wisdom builders. Let me explain what I mean. We all have past experiences. Your life has been different than my life and has been different than your life, but your life happened, your life mattered, and your life has shaped who you are. And those past experiences provide a wealth of knowledge. They provide a wealth of insight into yourself, your family, how you grew up. And you can look and you can begin to see, hey, are there any places in my past where my family really, really shines and really, really really thrived and it was really great? Well, then we can learn from that. Are there any areas where maybe there was a deficit, there was a deficiency? We can learn from that. We do this in other areas. If you grew up in a home, or if you have a history of addiction in your family, then it's wise for you to be a little more careful around some of those things than maybe someone who has no background in that whatsoever. You have histories and you have examples of family members trying things, starting new businesses. Maybe you started a new business, but we have this wealth of experience. We have this wealth of lived life where we can go back and we can evaluate. This was the choice I made, and this was a good outcome, and this was a bad outcome. And I believe our King is begging us to make our current choices built on the wisdom of our past experiences. You have a wealth of it. But it's not just past experiences. We all also have current circumstances. And they are completely unique. My circumstances aren't the same as your circumstances. My current circumstance at home, married, have three sons. My oldest son is beginning his sophomore year at University of South Carolina. My middle son is beginning his senior year at Myrtle Beach High School. And my youngest son is beginning his sophomore year. So we've launched one child-ish. He's mid-launch. He's launching. We've got one child who we're kind of doing that last run at home. I can't even say that out loud. And then we've got one who we've got time with. And so because of those current circumstances, wisdom for me looks a little different than wisdom might look for you. My wife highly prizes family meals together. It is one of her top values. And so guess what that makes it? One of my top values, because my current circumstances are that I'm married and I want to be wise about it, because I want to stay married. So what that means is wisdom for me looks like prioritizing being home as much as possible between that 6 to 7:30 time frame, because if you have teenagers, you know, they don't live on a schedule. They say they'll be home. They may not. Then they wander in, and we're just, oh, there they are. We're so happy to spot them, you know. So we'll just be sitting at dinner. You think they're coming? Oh, I forget. And so, but look, that's my current circumstance. So I don't have a lot of hobbies that I do right after work. I don't take a lot of meetings right now after work. I don't do a lot of stuff like that because my current circumstance says wisdom for me is to prioritize being at home at that time so that I can spend time with my middle son before he launches off so we can continue building our relationship with our youngest son. It matters. You also have current circumstances that I know nothing about. But those current circumstances are going to be used by the God of the universe to help shape what wisdom looks like for you. So we have past experiences, we have our current circumstances, and then we also have future hopes and dreams. When you look 5, 10, 20, 50 for the students, 50 years into the future, what do you see? What does that preferred future look like? All three of my sons attended Myrtle Beach Elementary School, and at the time they were attending Myrtle Beach Elementary School, they were piloting a program where they taught them the 7 habits of highly effective people. Stephen Covey's very, very popular, famous business book. And habit number 2 is begin with the end in mind. In other words, live your life now to propel yourself towards the future you desire. And that's what leads wisdom. That's what makes wisdom so universal. Again, the reason my wife prizes family meals so much is because she's always had a passion that we would have great relationships with our children when they were adults. It's just something she's been adamant about. And so we make decisions now to build the relationship and to plant the seeds for the future. I don't know what your future hopes and dreams are. They may be completely different than ours. They probably are. But I hope they're fueled by your King. And I hope you clearly see what your life could look like. And wisdom is choosing to live today in light of what we want our future to look like. And so I told you the title of the book was The Best Question Ever. Here's the best question ever, according to Andy Stanley, and the question we're going to apply to time today. And it's this. In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Now just pause for a minute. Don't look around, because I want to ask you a question. And I want to prepare you, because it might sting a bit, and that's not the point. But I want you to think about some of those things you don't like to think about. Some of the painful things. Some of the bigger regrets you have in your life. Some of those deeper regrets. And you've wondered, why did I do that? Why did I do that? Do you think it's more likely or less likely that you would repeat that choice if you ask yourself this question? In light of my past, in light of my present, in light of the future I hold, what does wisdom look like for me? What is the wise thing to do? It's clarifying, isn't it? It's challenging. And so what we want to do this week is we want to give you an opportunity, and we want to give you some time to wrestle with that question. Because it's only as we wrestle, it's only as we bring God in, it's only as we open ourselves up for him to point out some past experiences maybe we forgot about that can speak to a current situation. It's only in prayer and conversations with people who are filled with the Holy Spirit that we can maybe illuminate, oh, you know what? I hadn't really thought it together, but in this current season, yeah, this is an unwise thing for me to do. I probably need to wait a year. Or you know what? In light of our dreams, in light of the family we're trying to build, in light of the business we're trying to build, in light of the life we're trying to build in the future, there's some things that need to change today. Because here's what I know, and this is true, might sting, but it's true. Our current reality is a perfect picture of the current wisdom we're walking in. Might not be our wisdom. It might be the world's wisdom, might be your neighbor's wisdom, might be your kid's coach's wisdom. But whatever wisdom you are walking, because you're walking in something, you are making choices in confidence. We all do. And our current reality is a direct result of the current wisdom we're using. And so look, if you're good, if you're like, hey, man, we love church, but the time thing, we've got this, then good for you. Change nothing. But if you could admit, yeah, man, I feel tired. I run. I don't even enjoy half the activities we go to. I'm so tired. When I take my kids or when I pick my kids up, it's not even fun anymore. There's like a little resentment in me over it, and I'm the one who convinced them to do it. Yeah. Those are all the results of too busy of a life. And so, if you can admit, yeah, I'm too busy. Too much is going on. I'm so busy running my life, I have no time to enjoy my life. If that's you, you're not alone. Most of us in this room feel the same way. But if you want to make a change, begin to walk in wisdom. In light of my past, in light of the present, in light of what I'm dreaming for in the future, God, is this the wise thing to do? And that's going to take time. You need to pray about this. If you're married, you need to do this as a couple. If your kids are old enough, maybe even involve your kids in the conversation. Maybe you're an adult and you've got kids who have kids, you've got grandkids. You can still have this conversation with them as well. This is a family thing, and that's okay. Because we want to help you this week. Because I know the last thing you need is another thing to do, another thing to put on your to-do list. So I'm going to give you one more thing to put on your to-do list. But it's going to help you. Because my challenge to you this week to put at the top of your to-do list is to start a to-don't list. Start a to-don't list. Begin asking God to show you what are the things, what are the activities, what are the commitments that you want me to stop doing. A better way to ask it, God, what am I doing that you don't want me to be doing? Now look, that's not going to be an easy question. And so somebody on our team created this amazing resource. You can grab it right here. If you got the QR code, we'll leave it up there for a little bit. So you can take your phone out right now if you want. Scan that QR code because I've got a resource that you can use this week. It takes about 10, 15 minutes. And it prayerfully walks you through some questions to begin thinking about this topic. There's some very clarifying questions there. And I believe from the bottom of my heart, it will help you this week. When you feel overwhelmed, to sit, to look on paper, and to really clarify, all right, God, what do you have for me? Now, let me clarify something for you. God says he's going to give us enough time every day to do what he wants us to do. There are certain roles he's created us for that no one else can play. All right? No, if you are married, no one else in the world can play the role God wants you to play in your spouse's life. If you have children, no one in the world can play the role God wants you to play in your children's lives. If you call Wellspring home, no one in the world can play the role God has uniquely created you to play in this church. Everything else, someone else can play that role. Doesn't mean they should, but they can. And things like that are clarifying to us as we begin to wrestle. For some of us, for our to-don't list, we simply need to choose to change our conjunction. How many of you guys remember conjunction, junction? What's your function? It's from the 1900s, children. Google it. Part of walking in wisdom, part of starting a to-don't list, I believe, is us agreeing to simply change the conjunction. We don't say this activity and this activity. We say this activity or this activity. And to or. Very simple. It can change everything. Because it's our way of being careful. It's our way of not being thoughtless. It's our way of pausing to understand what the God of the universe wants us to do. Because he's promised we have enough time every day to do everything he wants for us. And he's promised to give us abundant life. He loved us so much, he sent his son. He loved us so much, he let his son die for us. But he was also so powerful, he brought his son back to life. And that God, that power, that love, wants to help me and you in this area. He wants better than busy for our lives. He wants blessed. He wants content. He wants satisfaction. And the way we'll receive it is when we open ourselves up to allow him to move through us, to guide us in this area. When we all choose to pray this prayer, God, is this the wisest use of this time in my life? That's the challenge, that's the prayer. In a moment, we're going to have our time of response. Our prayer team will be down front if you'd like someone to pray over you. But this is a time for you to sit with your king and get honest. Get honest about the areas that have already popped in your head. You already know a few. And you're like, yeah, that's not wise. Yeah, I said yes without thinking. Yeah, I was acting thoughtlessly. Okay. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings things to mind, and then he gives us a step. What would happen if you put some of those things on your to-don't list? And look, I'm not saying walk out tomorrow and willy-nilly just stop everything you're doing. Be good stewards. Be kind. Give people time to find a replacement. But if you don't have enough time every day to do everything you want to do, it means that you and God aren't on the same page. And so this is an opportunity for us to get on the same page, to understand what he thinks is best, and then to choose to live and walk in that, because your God loves you and he designed you for better than busy. He designed me and you for best. And the wisest thing we can do is to invite him in and to choose to walk where he tells us to walk. So take our resource, pray about it, use it this week, and then come back next week as we wrap up with one more step, one crucial ingredient that when we build into our lives, we immediately get wiser, and a lot of the to-dos and to-don'ts get a lot clearer. So come by next week. Let me pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we're just so, so grateful for your son and for the wisdom he provides. God, I pray even now, you just flood our minds, flood our hearts with your wisdom. Begin giving us things to put on our to-don't list so that we can make space for who you are and what you want to do. Help us to walk in wisdom, the wisdom of our past, the wisdom of our present, and the wisdom of our preferred future. Give us the clarity to see how to step and the courage to move. We love you and we thank you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. We'll stand to our feet and respond.